For the last 3 weeks, the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. has been hosting a festival called Arabesque, Arts of the Arab World. In its last week, the focus has been on film and literature, specifically poetry. In the West, poetry may be the stuff of college classrooms, but as NPR's Bilal Qureshi reports, in the Arab world, poetry is the most revered and popular form of artistic and political expression.
This is one of the most popular TV shows in the Middle East. It's called The Prince of Poets, kind of an Arabic-American idol with cell phone voting and crazed crowds. And one of its stars was Tamim al-Barghouti, and the poem he performed is called In Jerusalem.
He didn't win the competition, although everybody thought he should.
Egyptian novelist Ahdaf Souaf is one of the leading literary voices in the Middle East.
That meant that people took it upon themselves to popularize the poem and spread it.
It went viral, the stuff of ringtones and YouTube videos. All of this for a poem that Tamim al-Barghouti admits is in a language no one uses in everyday life.
The language I write in is the language of the 8th century.
The poem struck a nerve because In Jerusalem is a love song to a city that remains a potent political and cultural symbol in the Middle East. And Tamim al-Barghouti says poetry is the way to convey that in the Arab world.
I think of poetry as a collective act, as an act of self-expression, not only for the individual poet, but for the collective that listens to that poet and that sees in him a representative. A rare one, because they seldom get somebody really to represent them. They are not represented in the parliaments, they are not represented by their governments, and they are not represented almost anywhere.
In fact, the poet was the voice of the Arabs even before there were governments, according to Egyptian writer Ahdaf Souaf.
Poetry was by necessity the art form. These people were Bedou, they were people who were on the move. They were not a sedentary society that could create architecture or create sort of actual objects of art that they were going to have to sort of load with them as they moved every day. Their art was the word, which they could carry in their memories and just sit down and recite.
But this tradition stretched beyond the borders of the Bedouin culture of the Arabian Gulf. Rapper Kanaan says it's very much part of East Africa as well.
In Somalia, there is no song if it's not a poem. I don't even think there's ever been a song in Somalia that doesn't have serious poetic eloquence to it.
The eloquence of the word found its greatest expression in the Quran, what many, including Tamim al-Barghouti, consider the finest work of Arabic poetry.
And the evidence for that book's divine origin, according to the religious discourse, according to Islamic discourse, is nothing but its eloquence. And therefore, linguistic beauty, eloquence, is something essential in Arab consciousness, in the existence of the Arabs.
In other words, it's the eloquence of the language that ties people together. That's why Tamim's poem, In Jerusalem, has connected so many people across the region. It's the story of a Palestinian forced to sneak into the city, sensing its history and the men who've come before him.
It ends as he leaves and as he sort of glances in the rear mirror of the taxi that's taking him out, and as he's in tears, the city says to him, you know, you young fool, yes, there have been all these men, if you like, but I see no one except you.
Ahdaf Souaf says In Jerusalem's final message of hope ties al-Barghouti to the most famous modern Arab poet, the late Palestinian writer Mahmoud Darwish, who's often called the poet laureate of the Middle East.
Whether he liked it or not, and in fact he fought against it, was seen as the voice of the Palestinian people, so that the poor man, you know, couldn't write a love poem without its being interpreted as a love poem to Palestine. But he was the voice of the Palestinian people, and he filled stadiums.
And his poems were turned into hit songs by Lebanese composer Marcel Khalifa. Poetry as performance is alive beyond the streets of Cairo and Beirut. It lives in the homes of Arab immigrants and their children scattered across the world. It's on HBO's Deaf Poetry Jam.
Please give it up from Brooklyn by way of Palestine, Ms. Suhair Haman.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2, can you hear me? Mic check, 1, 2. Mic check my bags at the airport. In a random routine check, I understand, Mike, I do. You, too, were altered that day. And most days, most folks operate on fear, often hate. This is my check, your job. And I am always random.
Suhair Hamad is an Arab-American poet, and she'll let you know she's just as Brooklyn as she is Palestinian. Yet she grew up in the shadow of the Quran, thinking God was a poet.
And at the same time, I saw rap as poetry. But for me, that friction, I found a beat there. I found my own voice there.
One, two, one, one, two. I
was dead. In much the same way, Somali musician Kanaan finds his rhythm in his inheritance, in the eloquence of the poets who came before him.
A poor black ghetto child, he can't shoot and he can't go run the mouth. There's no school and the kids go running wild. The police and the courts wanna run them out.
Beyond his lyrical precision, Kanaan's words reflect the realities of daily life in his homeland.
If we're discussing difficulties, if we're discussing beauty, if it's war, if it's peace, it's poetry.
I was stabbed by Satan on the day that I was born.
But the words of these poets can also be as simple as a cup of coffee or an evening among friends. Bilal Qureshi, NPR News.
You can hear Suher Hamad perform the full version of her poem, Mic Check, at our website, npr.org.